Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Hablando en Spanglish is something natural to people living in bilingual households. Spanglish is often frowned upon or shunned out in the real world. Times are changing. Spanglish is now even a field of academic study. Young children who grow up speaking in Spanglish don't often read books that reflect their reality. A new ABC book for children could be considered an ABC book. It's called Vitamina T for Tacos, a children's alphabet book, taco dictionary, and cultural guide. We're talking today to the book's authors, taco journalist Mando Rayo and Suzanne Garcia Mateus with the Monterey Institute for English Learners at California State University, Monterey Bay. Rayo says pitching the book to potential publishers was a challenge.
We wrote the book, and then we were trying to pitch it to different places. And people didn't really understand it because they didn't understand the culture or the language. That's just my own commentary. But one of the things that this book does is it introduces you to, if you're not part of the culture, it introduces you to different words, different phrases, different cultural references. It's a cultural guide, right? So in the back of the book, we actually have definitions of some of the references that you may not get from the visuals, from the illustrations, or from the actual text of the book. So we want to make sure that people that may not be as familiar with, you know, the food or the culture, there's a reference point for you there. And so that way it allows for people that to be curious and look at this book as a way to like learn something new. But it's also like, you know, really thinking about how do I infuse some of my upbringing through an alphabet book. And so part of that is, sure, it's the ABCs, but it's really focused on this cultural food, right? And so it's the taco and everything that surrounds it in a way. And so part of it is the culture. Part of it is like these different places that we go to. And it's kind of just a recognition of a lot of people that grew up along the border, I would say, and using a language that we understand and we know and we're comfortable with. And a lot of that is definitely, you know, in Spanglish.
Yeah, and Spanglish is something that I know some people tend to frown upon, but those of us from the border, Mando, you and I are from El Paso, and Suzanne is from Brownsville. Spanish is something that is very common in the way that we speak with our family, with our friends. And Suzanne, I know that you focus on language in your studies, and I'm curious as to how you felt that Spanglish was really important to be reflected in this book, because the way I see it, you know, so many children's books are very diverse in their illustrations. The children see themselves, but in this book, they don't just see themselves, they also hear themselves.
Yeah, that's right. So we were very purposeful in writing the book in Spanglish. We did that with the intention of honing in and just placing like value on the way bilingual people speak. And yeah, it's in Spanglish because we speak Spanish and English, but Spanglish, so we call it translanguaging in academia, happens all over the world when people speak more than one language and when people grow up with more than one language. And so we really, one of the aims that we were doing is trying to destigmatize Spanglish. By normalizing it and by having it in a children's book so that young kids could hear themselves, like you said, but also so that other people who aren't part of the Latinx community can also see and hear us, right? This is who we are. And this is how we grow up. And it's very normal to us.
Well, I want to talk about the ABCs. Mando brought up the ABCs, but the ABCs in Spanish are a little bit different, a little bit extra than the ABCs in English. And I thought it was fantastic to see that the letter che, the eye, and the enye were included in this alphabet book. And for listeners who might not know what the che is, CH is considered a letter in the Spanish alphabet. And the double L, the Eye, which is in the middle of tortilla, as you point out in your book. And the Ñe is the N with the little swirl, the little tilde on top of it that gives the N sound, the Ñe. And I thought it was really clever for the both of you to include those sort of extra letters in this ABC book to sort of educate those who might not be familiar with those letters that this is something that's unique to the culture. Mondo?
Yeah, first of all, you can't spell chicharrón without a che.
Or chorizo.
Or chorizo, exactly, you know. And that I think that's the beauty of really thinking about the duality of English and Spanish. And then where we meet is the Spanglish. So, you know, I think part of what we wanted to do is not really follow the traditional rules that this has to be in English and this is the structure for it, or this has to be in Spanish and this is a structure for it. For us, you know, language, just like food and recipes, is fluid and it evolves.
Suzanne, what do you have to add about, you know, linguistically about adding those letters to this book?
Yeah, I purposely wanted to add them sort of as a, when we say in academia, language is a right, as a protest almost to the debate as to whether or not, you know, those letters, some of those letters should still be in the Spanish dictionary, whatever. I think they should be. They're part of who we are. They're part of our identity as Spanish speakers in the U.S., as Spanish speakers globally, like part of like setting the quote unquote standard of what is accepted or what is normalized is using those letters, right? Or using those words. And we're using them, not just in our book, but in our day-to-day lives. And that's what really gives those letters or words significance and meaning. So I saw it more of as like as a protest against those who think those letters should maybe not exist anymore.
Well, what about the R? I noticed that the R, the yeah. double R, was not included in this
yes.
book. That's
yes.
that's R discrimination. What's happening here?
I know, right? To be honest, it was an oversight. But we saw so many people look at the book and nobody mentioned it until it was published and we presented and my aunt called me or texted us. ¿Qué pasó con la R? She like sent me like 10 words that had like doble R in there. I was like, I know.
Suzanne Garcia Mateus is an assistant professor of education and the director of the Monterey Institute for English Learners at California State University, Monterey Bay. Taco journalist Mando Rayo is co-author of The Tacos of Texas, executive producer and co-host of United Tacos of America, and producer at Identity Productions. They're the authors of Vitamina T for Tacos, a children's alphabet book, taco dictionary, and cultural guide. When we come back, a children's book isn't complete without illustrations and the inspirations behind them.
I pull a lot from my memories, from my favorite taquerias when I was young in Mexico, from my abuelita asando los chiles en el comal.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. A is for apple, B is for boy, C is for cat. Well, maybe it is in English, but in Spanglish and in the Texas taco culture, A is for al pastor, B is for breakfast tacos, birria and barbacoa, C is for carnitas and carne asada. Today, we're talking about the new bilingual Spanglish children's book, Vitamina T for Tacos. The clever use of language isn't the only thing about this book bound to make you smile. It's the illustrations. Under H for horchata, the H in Spanish is silent, a ladle of the sweet drink is being poured into a glass, fanning itself under a smiling sun. Under O for onions, a surprised onion is being sliced while an unseen person is shedding onion-inflicted tears. Under S for salsa, a smiling pestle, the tejolote, is wading in salsa in the mortar, the molcajete, as if it's in a hot tub. The illustrations in Vitamina T were created by artist Marta Samaniego Calderón, a native of Mexico. She says the collaboration between her and the book's authors, Mando Rayo and Suzanne Garcia Mateus, was based on trust.
So I had just freedom to do whatever I wanted. And So that made the process easier. But I think they knew my background and they knew my work and they've seen my paintings and what I've done. So I feel like from that standpoint, I think it was very helpful for me. And the way I work, I sketch all of the letters first and I show it to them. And of course, they had to approve. And then we had to take feedback and figure out if something was working or not and make little changes. But the amazing thing is like the conversation and the communication was open and fluid. And so it was easy for me to do it. I think growing up in Mexico and having this lived experience on my own of what it is to eat tacos, to smell them, to cook them, made it very easy for me in a way to portray the aesthetics of the illustrations. And I pull a lot from my memories, from my favorite taquerias when I was young in Mexico, from my abuelita asando los chiles in El Comal, my daughter eating corn or esquites. So yeah, it was a very organic process, but I feel that the key word here is trust. I would like to add a big shout out to Jade Publishing, our publishing company, for believing in this project. I know as an illustrator, it's not easy to, you know, get your portfolio approved or anything, you know, when you want to illustrate children's books. Or, you know, like when you write a book, not everyone believes in you, unfortunately. So I feel like Jade Publishing is one of the most amazing publishing companies I've ever come across. Rosy Lima is her publishing company, believes in these voices, our voices, and voices that represent culture. And she gave us a chance and believes in Spanglish, you know, and so that's amazing. And I'm super grateful that she continues to support our work.
Well, what are some of your favorite illustrations in this book, Marta? Pretty much, like I said, every picture in this makes me want to smile. And part of that is because there's a lot of smiling characters in this book. A smiling pig, a smiling cactus, a smiling cow, which disturbingly is sticking its tongue out inside of a taco shell. So that was the only one that made me go, oh, but that was for the letter L for lengua, just in case people are wondering. What were some of your favorite illustrations in this book? And can you describe them? Because you know, this is radio, so our listeners can't really see what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I feel like from my favorite ones, the first one, letter A, I drew a taquero, and he's holding a taco on his left hand, and with the right hand, he's holding a knife. And he's pulling the meat from the trompo, where the meat is. And he has a pineapple there. So the reason why this illustration is so special to me is because it was really the first one that I did. And I was so nervous to do it. And then I start adding the taco hat that Mando wears.
Yes.
And adding a lot of details to that. So I love that one. Letter A is for tacos al pastor, always rolling with the trompo at your favorite taqueria. So I literally drew that, the trompo rolling and the taquero making the tacos. Another illustration that I really love because of the process was letter E, esquites, corn, mayonesa, butter, y chile. I love that illustration because at the time I was illustrating, we were already in the middle of the shutdown, I guess, the pandemic. So to me, art is healing. And this specific illustration, I just got zoned out, creating corn by corn. Like the corn has, I don't know how many kernels, one by one. You know,
oh
you
my
have
gosh.
To think about the light and the shadow and, you know, all that. So it was so healing for me to just, you know, do it one by one. But yes, I feel like lots of smiley faces, and that was thanks to Mando. He really wanted this to be fun, and he always kept telling me, like, just have fun with it, have fun with it. And I was like, okay, let's add more.
Well, I noticed Mando and Suzanne, it looks like you make a guest appearance in Tea, Tacos, Taquerias y Taquisas, because it looks like the both of you are inside this little taco truck that's called the Taqueria Sin Nombre.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Yeah, you know, one of the things that we wanted to make sure that comes across is that this book is fun for kids and for anybody that's interested in learning about Latino culture. You know what I mean? And part of that, that's why, you know, as Marta mentioned, you know, I wanted to have like some funny references, funny illustrations, a lot of smiling tacos, for sure. Like the lengua, I love that. And, you know, the nopales, sigue, sigue.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't know Mondo, you don't know this reference.
Takes us back to, you know, 90s dance clubs.
Which children have no reference to at all.
No reference, but maybe parents do. Yeah. And so we really wanted, you know, like to bring in some references like that, that are, you know, are funny to us, but then we can also pass it down to the kids. Or the rechiquen taco, which is a dad joke.
Oh, no. Okay, you got to explain that one.
Oh, well, you know, it's an old joke. So R is for repollo, right? And then so the old joke is, how do you say repollo in English? Ah, it's easy. Rechiquen. That's an OG dad joke. I'm here for it all day.
Well, Suzanne, do you have anything else you'd like to add about this book and what it can hopefully contribute to today's young people?
Yeah, we've talked about that in terms of like classrooms, right? We've talked about this book in like the dual language classroom or bilingual education classroom, which I agree is a good fit because students are, you know, becoming bilingual and learning Spanish and English. But really, it's good for any classroom where there's linguistically and culturally diverse students. The most commonly language spoken in the United States is Spanish. And so I think any classroom where there's kids who speak other languages, this book is good just to develop that like metalinguistic awareness because they're learning, you know, words in Spanish, they're learning Spanglish, they're learning context. And I think it just generates also conversation in the classroom because it touches on the students' backgrounds. I know when we've talked about that, the question you just asked, Norma, I love what Marta has to say also, because she's talked about it in terms of un libro de acompañamiento, ¿no, Marta?
Yeah, I mean, this book is amazing because it can be used as a libro acompañante. And that's there's some scholars doing research in academia about that acompañamiento and how books, children's books, through their realities, their narratives of the Latinx students, diaspora culture, how they reflect that to their students in the classroom. So teachers in classrooms could do units of study. For example, this book, The Tacos, like there's something called taco math.
Taco math? You can, like math?
Yeah, like math.
Wow.
Taco math. Yeah, my daughter's, I have a daughter, she's in third grade. So last year, she, like most of the kids in the nation, was doing online learning because of COVID. And she had the best teacher, dual language teacher, and his name was Mr. Rubio. And he had taco math, which is math problems based in, you know, tacos. And so he put different tacos and then students had to analyze the data of the tables and adding. And so students could really feel like they know what they were counting. It's not just marbles or pencils. It was tacos. And most kids in my daughter's classroom love tacos. So they were really thrilled about the choriqueso tacos or the buche tacos or the chicharrón. And it was fun to learn that way because then they end up talking about their favorite taquerias and all that. So unfortunately, our book wasn't out there published when this happened, but this is an example of how teachers in classrooms could use the theme of tacos. Students can write narrative, personal narratives, or their favorite taquerias or their favorite recipes. So you can really expand through a book like this, I think, to really connect with the students' lives and lived experiences and backgrounds.
You know, you're making me think that how much more interesting math would have been if we had to calculate a speeding taco truck instead of a speeding train. You know, that exactly. How fast is a train moving and in this direction and it's going in the other direction? And if it was a taco truck, I think it would be a much more entertaining, much more engaging equation.
Yeah. And we have like in the book, like with the Taqueria Sin Nombre and the L, we have taco prices on there that I think are awesome. So kids could definitely like even draw from the prices on here to calculate, you know, numbers of tacos and such.
And inflation.
Yeah, in Spanglish.
Suzanne Garcia Mateus is an assistant professor of education and the director of the Monterey Institute for English Learners at California State University, Monterey Bay. Taco journalist Mando Rayo is co-author of The Tacos of Texas, executive producer and co-host of United Tacos of America, and producer at Identity Productions. They're the authors of Vitamina T for Tacos, a children's alphabet book, taco dictionary, and cultural guide. The book is illustrated by Marta Samaniego Calderon, a native of Jalapa, Veracruz, Mexico. She has an MA in art education from the University of North Texas and is co-author and illustrator of the bilingual children's book Behind My Mask, Detrás de mi Cubrebocas. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show online at tpr.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Brie Kirkham. And our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.